Game and Watchmen.
Because, like, we went to, that was the time when I was going to fucking, like, that giant-ass high school. And
you mean Seneca High School?
Yeah.
The high school I graduated from?
Yeah, I was going to that school. And it wasn't for me, but it was full of less than savory characters some of the time.
It was full of a bunch of pricks, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so bigoted pricks. And so I was, you know, defending members of that community and... I literally walked up to like five dudes.
Wait, you were defending the bigots?
No. The LGBT community.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it was that Silence Day, probably?
It was one of them,
many fucking fights that day. I just fought people to fight people that day.
Yeah, it was bad, dude. So I was defending that, and I just walked up, dropped my bag, and it's like five of these fucking football player douchebags, and they wouldn't do a fucking thing. I mean, granted, probably because, you know, they were smarter about it and didn't want to lose their fucking scholarships and shit. But, you know, same diff. Like, oh. I can't get into a fight for trying.
I easily can get into fights.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is spit on somebody and then just throw a fist wildly and win.
There was actually a time we went out drinking. It was your birthday, wasn't it?
Might have been.
Yeah, I think it was Josh's birthday, but I can't remember. What we were at Tiki Hut, is that what it's called?
Oh, you're talking about that one guy.
Yeah, we were at the Tiki Hut. We were Josh got really drunk. We were hanging out. Sarah was there. Gator was there. I can't remember. And obviously, his
all my
was
friends
there.
Was there.
Yeah, all and Ryan was there. Maybe I can't.
Yeah,
remember.
No, Ryan was there. He was egging me on.
And then we went outside front, we were leaving or whatever, but we gathered up in a circle out front, we were talking, and Josh being drunk, he's like, dude, I love you guys, come in, bring it in, and he, like, we're all like in this tight circle, and then this dude like strolls up, he's really shit-faced drunk, and he gets in the circle, and then Josh is like, who the fuck are you? This circle is for my friends only. And then the guy was like, he like looked down, like he looked kind of pissed, and then he like looked down at his fist, and like clenched his fist, and he was looking down at his fist, and then Josh was like, are you measuring your fucking fist against me? Dude, I'll fucking take you on! And he just like starts going off on this guy, and you know, lots of shit happens or whatever, and then long story short, the guy gets put into a cab. And then Josh, like, pulls his dick out and, like, fucking slaps it against the window.
It was, what had happened.
Oh, my God.
I was gonna murder him. Like,
you're like, fucking look at this.
I will rape your corpse.
So, the funny story about that was actually my girlfriend's cousin ended up taking him home. And,
he
couldn't get a cab. So, my girlfriend's cousin takes him home. And he gets, like, the keys to his house or like that and goes in and sets this guy aside and writes a note like, sorry about your dick, bro, or something like that, and left. But it was hilarious because he was, like, all up in this fucking guy's house and apparently it was empty and he looked alone. Like, it was fucking pathetic.
Yeah, he said he looked into his refrigerator and all he had was, like, a fucking bottle of ketchup.
Yeah, it was
sad. That was all this guy had. And a pair of shoes. That's all he had.
Was he squatting there? Like,
I don't fucking know.
He didn't look like he was homeless. He just
he looked like a dick.
He just looked like an asshole, like a rich asshole who just fucking moves places and then doesn't fucking bring anything with
it. It was like, because there was like six people there, and five out of the six people were telling me not to fight, and then there was Ryan in the background, like, come on,
do it!
Fucking do it! I want to punch him. I just really want to see Josh fight someone. I really want to see it.
Yeah, I remember.
Because I only fight people when my friends aren't around. Like, I don't know why that is. I don't like fighting people.
You don't want everybody to see the monster you've become.
I don't want to like hand up like covered in blood and be like, "Don't touch me!" And run away.
You're looking at your hands. Who am I?
I've spilt this blood for you.
Just go all Far Cry 3 on us.
Yeah.
Just fucking. Yeah. Exactly. Nice.
Look what you've become.
Yeah. So yeah. Welcome to the podcast. I am Nate.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Josh. A kiss for you.
Nice. This week we're talking about Iron Bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so ready for this shit. Not to beat a dead horse.
Well, that horse is far fucking...
It's far dead.
Yeah.
All right. We've technically reanimated the corpse. And then
yeah, so Paul and Josh really wanted to play this game. I was very apprehensive. For good reason. For very good reason. You know, I only joined it just because I enjoyed the bread puns so much, because I used to make puns all the time. Josh knows this.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I used to make lots of bad... Like, the worse the pun was, the more I loved it. That was my goal. It was like, dude, how can I make this really bad? I know. And I would just fucking throw them at Josh all day, and he's like, fucking stop. I'm like, no. I fucking love it. And so... When we started doing the bread puns for I Am Bread, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'll agree to it just so I could do puns, because...
I knew that was your fucking weakness, so I led with that.
Yeah. And then I bought the game, and I was immediately mad because I spent $8 on this game, and I could have bought something else.
Nate's like, what a loaf of shit.
What a loaf of shit, indeed.
Right.
So, take it away, guys.
Well, the premise of the game is you play as a piece of bread, and the point of every level you go into is to overcome obstacles while keeping your...
trying to get fucking toasted.
You become toast, but you have to overcome obstacles by increasing... You get extra points by increasing your deliciousness, like rolling around in butter and jam and shit. You also start to lose edibility as you hit the floor, like germs. If you hit the floor for 5 seconds, you die. It's the 5 second rule.
Really?
That's it. It takes 5 seconds to die in that game. If you hit the ground, depending on where you hit the ground. I mean, if you hit the ground like a... By the way, the apartment you play in, that guy is fucking filthy.
Fuck yeah, he is.
He would eat the bread filthy. After
10 seconds, honestly.
I would eat the bread if it was there for a day. I'd be like, ooh, sandwich.
But not if it's like... Because you lose that ability faster if you land like jam side down.
That's like, true, yeah. If you jam or butter side down, you lose. You always fall down that way. Jam side down, by the way.
You know, the one thing I'll say about this game, like, there was a moment right in the beginning of the game, I was like, oh, that was clever. It was that you're looking at the piece of, you're looking at the loaf of bread, and you see the slice at the front, you're like, oh, that's me. And it turns out you're the slice right behind it. It was like fucking Metal Gear Solid. Am I Raiden or am I Snake?
True.
So I was true. Like, oh, they fooled me. I'm not the first piece of bread. I'm the second piece of bread sandwiched in between the loaf.
You're a Corey Bliskin.
Yeah. that's about as far as I was like, oh, that's whatever.
You know, the one thing I have to say about that game, though, is for apparently the guy who owns the story, the narrative is told. Each day, this man's going to a psychiatrist because someone keeps breaking into his house and it's stressing him out. And what it is he starts to believe that it's the bread's fault that the house is starting to break. And which is true, but the whole thing is bread isn't conscious. Bread can't think. Bread can't move. But you totally can't. You know why? Because you are bread.
As far as bread simulators go, it was really spot on.
Yeah, as far as bread simulators,
like, I felt like fucking bread.
This is the best bread simulator I've ever played. In fact, if you could actually make yourself into a sandwich,
it's the only bread simulator there is.
I'm sure there's more.
I doubt it.
Well, the point is, I mean, if you get it right the first time, there's really no need.
I'd like
and this
to play,
game has got it spot on.
Yeah, I
felt like bread the entire way.
I would like to play
through
a game where you play as a piece of bread and you make sandwiches out of people. You bake people in ovens. In fact, no, that
Are you talking like Evil Within, like except the Katamari beginning of the game, instead of a butcher guy, it's a piece of bread that's making people into sandwiches?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd play that. It'd be a horror game, bread horror game.
Yeah. I just imagine this giant piece of toast walking around the corner of the hallway. So game, and you're like, shit. Like,
there's really not much to talk about story. Gameplay-wise, it's how I describe, it's a cross between Goat Simulator and Quap.
I was going to say Octodad.
Or Mount Your Friends.
Yeah, or Mount Your... Any of those stupid fucking games. Yeah. It's like those. Where it's just like you're fighting with your controller.
Like any of the 2014 indie games. The game itself.
Huh?
Yeah. Like any of the 2014 indie games, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's, yeah, because it's...
The games that are made, like, they make the control so hard that it makes people rage, therefore... People make Let's Plays, therefore the game becomes popular. That's how that shit works.
That's exactly how that shit works. That's the fact exactly the guys who made it are the Surgeon Simulator, which you've ever played Surgeon Simulator, that game is unbelievably frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hilarious. It's I'd have to say that game's more funny than this game, because this game doesn't... It has the fucking tongue-in-cheek humor behind it, but it's very short-lived. And that's what I was hoping for. I was hoping for a whole bunch of bread, tongue-in-cheek humor. But unfortunately, that game is so fucking impossible at times that it's just like, I want to get to the next level, but I can't fucking ride a skateboard well enough. Like...
Like yeah. the joke begins and ends with the fact that you're bred.
Yeah, I was hoping for more. Like Surgeon Simulator, it's called, the joke is it's Surgeon Simulator, but it has nothing to do with simulation because it's absolutely fucking terrible. And they made it the game that way with the goofy ass fucking physics. And but that game consistently can become fun. This game, the fun wears thin after a couple hours of playing. However,
the fun wore thin after 10 minutes of playing for me.
For you, maybe you. I put a couple hours in that game. Because here in my mind, I was just like, "Oh, these guys are probably gonna fucking hate it." Nate really likes challenges. I'm gonna be better than him because challenge,
I like fun challenging games.
I thought that was kind of fun. I mean, you get to break glass and be bread.
Right. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, as far as the game goes, it's definitely spot on for being bred. It is definitely a gimmick game.
For sure. I don't know why it was $8. My problem is the price tag. That's my only problem with the game. It's a little too fucking late for that because I've already crossed that bridge.
Yeah.
Well, probably because they probably charge that much because, A, we got it like 3 days after release. And because
they know people are going to pay that much for a fucking gimmick, yeah.
So this goes back to the whole fucking rant I had about early access games. The game's unfinished, and I fucking hate that about the game. Like, what else are they going to add in the game, though? If they add something excellent into the game, I'll probably play it again. And I'd really like to see something like that.
This is early access?
It's totally early access.
There's not going to be... What more could they add to I Am Bread?
Two slices of bread, multiplayer mode, where you can help each other. Where you can, like, throw your partner...
See, part of it is I just really hate physics games.
You ever play Goat Simulator?
I have not played Goat Simulator.
A fucking game whatsoever. That game's excellent fun though, because the fun thing about Goat Simulator that I really enjoy is the fact that you have a score system. Then you can keep modifiers going, you can keep a multiplier going, and there's just so much goofy ass shit you can do in that game.
It's like fucking Tony Hawk, but with a goat.
Because it's broken on purpose, and. You know, but like with I Am Bread, it's, I guess it's just plain old bread.
Yeah, but it's like a puzzle game, though, and what it is. Like, you have to find a way to navigate across the room. You have to balance a bunch of different things. And to get good at it, you have to be, like, good at it. And have to plan
it out. You know, once I started to figure out how to fling my fucking self good distances at one time, I got pretty good at it.
Yeah.
It really is just controlling the camera angle, because the nudge... When you use you can't use it with anything but the controller. The controller makes it so much fucking easier.
Yeah, I play most games with the controller anyways.
And
it's my preference.
But like, when you use the joystick to like, when you grab onto something and you're flipping your bread over end or whatever like that, it's context sensitive. When you press forward, it's context sensitive to where your camera angle is. So if you're looking down at your piece of bread and you're trying to press forward, your bread's going into the table. But if you move the camera down to where you're on the side of the bread will flip over end over end. So it's, you know, manage the camera to where you need it to be to get your bread to do what it wants. Unfortunately, though, that gets the camera fucking stuck into the game.
It's the worst kind of game.
Yeah.
Like games where you have to fight with the camera, that's like already, if you, like any game where you have to fight with the camera is already usually considered a bad game.
I don't feel like you have to fight with the camera. You just have to utilize the
camera.
Like the camera is not just your viewing device. It's your tool.
Mm-hmm. It's how you aim, essentially. You're aiming the way your bread needs to go.
Well, I mean, an example is that, like, a lot of people love Super Mario 64, but a lot of people still don't like the camera system in that game because you have to control it rather than it following you.
And also, your camera's technically an enemy, so you are fighting with the camera in a sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, but that game had an excuse. It was one of the first games ever to fucking utilize a camera system.
I think it was, like, the first 3D platformer, wasn't it?
I don't think it was the first 3D platformer. I mean, it's definitely the first mainstream success one, for sure. Because it was Nintendo 64. It was the first game that ever came out on Nintendo 64. But I think there were 3D platformers and, like, arcades prior to that. Shitty-looking ones. Super Mario 64 is the best-looking one.
Yeah, probably on, like, PSX or something.
Yeah.
Because that genre wasn't explored on PC as much. Because PC wasn't really built for games like that. Those are console games for sure.
Yeah. Well, now it's like becoming more accepted because a lot of people who PC game usually own a controller too.
Yeah, well,
so
Steam revolutionized using controller support for games. They actually do have like plug-in controller support for a lot of games.
Yeah.
Like if I wanted to, I could play fucking Payday with my controller,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like. I don't know. First-person shooters and controllers aren't meant to be.
No, not really. Mouse controls for first-person shooters are the preferred method.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for certain games, though. Actually, what I found myself is the depth of field. Just like with I Am Bread, I do not like the depth of field in that game at times because it seems... depth of field is how much you can see on screen at one point in time. And because I play like games like Arma 3 where situational awareness is like 100% key, I play with a high depth of field so I have a peripheral vision in the game, so it's like I can see out of my peripheral vision and key in on something, because in a lot of first-person shooters, you're just kind of fucking zoomed in up to your gum, and you have like blinders on, you can't see to the side. Yeah. So depth of field is a huge part of me, and in I Am Bread, you don't have any depth of field at all because it's technically third person, mm-hmm. but you don't, because you're so fucking close to that goddamn piece of bread, you can't zoom out.
You have to absorb every pore and detail.
Yeah. of that bread.
You have to know. You have to smell the bread, feel the bread. Be the bread.
Be the bread.
So it's important to know like every little nook and cranny and seed and sprouted grain of your bread.
You know, I could definitely see one of the things that they're going to add in early access is different kinds of bread. Like,
could
be pumpernickel. But I'd like to see it to be like Don't Starve, to where different kinds of bread, do you have different powers? Because don't start your regular ass character as just a plain old fucking character. Your first piece of bread is like a plain old piece of bread. Your white bread, there's nothing special about white bread.
Whereas like you get like super dark rye and it can stay on the floor for like 30 seconds because it's
or you can play a sourdough where fucking you're already a piece of shit bread, so you could fucking
sourdough's fucking delicious.
Sourdough is delicious. Yeah.
This game makes me want to have a brain aneurysm.
Do it. Do it on the podcast right now.
Have a bread aneurysm.
Oh. Oh my god.
No, it's
I just can't get over the fact that like games like this are majorly successful based on a gimmick.
Majorly successful for 3 months. I mean, give it that.
It's a huge cash grab.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's going to be a huge cash grab. People are going to keep making more, and eventually we're going to get over it, just like we do with everything.
Yeah, and then the same company will make another gimmicky fucking game, make a lot of money. Yeah, I just hate that kind of, like...
I think that company is going to be that company's niche, is, like, Surgeon Simulator, fucking I Am Bread. The next one's going to be, like, I don't know, Muffin Army, something
fucking ridiculous. Potato Man Finds the Truth.
That shit's our fault. Like, as a populace, it's not really...
The game you just said.
I would not have bought this game if it were not for the podcast.
Well, yeah, I ordinarily, unless we were doing something like... That's why I liked it, because I thought it was something we could, you know, play and rip on, like, just huddle around the barrel, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But I enjoyed myself, honestly, playing it.
I did find myself giggling hysterically at some times.
Yeah, because, like, I'm fucking bread. I've always wanted to be this.
Oh, my God.
Really? You want to be bread?
It's on my bucket list.
Well, that's fine. I wanted to be the meat between your bread.
Thanks, babe. Yeah, like if I needed to be reincarnated, I'd wanted at least one to be bread.
If reincarnation was real, I'd like to see what it'd be like to be food for once.
Yeah, right.
Because I eat a lot of food, and I'm like, you know, maybe that would help my gluttony in a future life. I eat a lot.
Learn that lesson. Does being a small animal count?
No, because I don't want to die and become the process of food. I mean, I guess I could do that as a human. I could be like, fucking eat me. You could do like the whole Armin Mute Midas.
You just
want to
be like a piece of bread with a soul, basically, yeah?
My one desire, my only wish is to be eaten.
Eaten.
It's a bloodbath reference. But yeah, so there's not much to say Armin about Mewies. I Am Bread. And you know what? I think my problem with I Am Bread is... it's early access, and either I feel like I fucking like am choked for content in that game. The levels are neat. I love games where you get to play in an altered form of normal ass life. Like one of my favorite fucking games was it was a Toy Story Tony Hawk game that I had played, mm-hmm. where it's just Tony Hawk, but you play as like Buzz Lightyear and shit. I fucking love that goddamn game. It had like Basement Jacks where your head at in it. It was like the soundtrack. It was just a lot of fun because you're just like, you're doing crazy Tony Hawk stuff as Buzz Lightyear in Andy's room, and like a room. Or like the game Toy Soldiers. You're playing as little army men.
That's a good game.
Yeah, all your battle maps are just like the living room or the backyard or something. Those games were a lot of fun.
It's kind of why I like Sim Ant too. You play as an ant colony.
It's just altered life, altered perspective stuff. And that aspect, I love the game. I love the level. It's really cool to fuck around in someone's living room. Unfortunately, I can't walk on the ground and do what I want, but that's fine.
You know? They might integrate like a free roam mode. Or you can just be a piece of bread flipping out like over this guy's house.
That's cool. Yeah, like
MMO.
A debug mode or something.
Yeah.
It would be cool. I'm really interested in seeing what that game can accomplish. It's not going to be fucking anything noteworthy. I'm going to continue playing it. I'm not going to go home and play it tonight. I think tonight I'm probably going to go home and play...
I'm done with this game forever.
I know you're done with this game forever.
You're
fucking toast.
Now I hate the puns just because I hate the game.
It's not a bad. It's not. I don't think it's a game worthy of hate either way. But it's a, you play it and then you say, okay, I've done this. I can cross being bred off my bucket list. Done. Like that's it.
I'm excited to actually say that I've been played a game where I've been a piece of bread. My girlfriend caught me playing the game. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm sitting there just fucking an apple jar the whole time, like trying to get up so it looks like I'm screwing some apples. And I'm like, nothing. it was interesting.
How far did you guys get into this game?
I got to day three.
Day three?
Day three.
I got to day two and I was just like, fuck.
How did you toast yourself on day two?
I played day two a couple of times, so I hopped up on the heater the first time.
Yeah, that's how I did it.
And then I played it again, and I just kind of got like to the top of like the lamp, and mm-hmm. I just hung out by the light bulb.
Yeah, it goes real slow on the light bulb. Yeah. I eventually got bored of that. The challenging part, like getting to the alcohol part, like go up the couch. It's stupid hard because it adds different. The game does have its inherent challenges to it, and I think that's really cool. In fact, using the sentence inherent challenge in a game like this almost seems like a fucking misallocation of words. But the inherent challenge of the game is, like, the first level, you have a lot of flat countertops and vertical fucking walls to go across. And then the second level kind of introduces inclines and different textures because your bread moves differently on like couches versus tables
and objects too, because like the painting on the wall
and I couldn't even tell you what day three was because I stopped playing at that point.
Yeah, I called it a day. I didn't even look at day three,
so but I did get to day three because I like day two. I like day one, it was really fun. But you play as a different room because the psychiatrist says that you should move things. I wonder if there's an outside level. That'd be a lot of fun. It'd be really hard.
Yeah, you have to like hop from plate to plate or something.
Yeah. Avoid getting snatched up by a bird.
Another game I need to play, Bird Simulator.
There's a Bird Simulator?
Had a Tory
boyfriend. No, but there need to be. I want a fucking bread dating sim. I'd be all over that shit. I'd be on like Donkey Kong. I would just jam all over the place.
Where you play as a bird dating bread?
I mean, that'd be cool too. Or if I'm just like a piece of bread trying to seduce all the ladies to eat me.
Honestly, dating simulators are probably not that hard to fucking code because it's just like Ruby logic.
Well, the reason why I was like, you guys said you wanted to do Had a Full Boyfriend, I was like, no, is because I've seen the game, and 90% of that game is text, and the other 10% is, like, making a choice. There's nothing, there's actually only, like, two choices you can make in the game, the rest of it's all text.
That's okay, I downloaded a game that it turns out it's not a game, it's in fact a fucking story with pictures.
Yeah.
And you get to choose, like, two or three fucking
things. See, the only time it's acceptable to play a game that's, like, mostly story, and then you make choices is a game like fucking Walking Dead or Wolf Among Us.
Well, Telltale Games has a lot of choices.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of choices. You actually feel invested in the character's future, you know? But Had a Full Boyfriend's like, you make a choice at the end of the fucking game. Who are you gonna date? You know?
Well, it's important to know backstory before I decide who I'm gonna date. You don't like them high school... I remember the high school dating sims where, like, you're trying to date all these hot anime chicks.
Like, on I don't deny
that they get naked at the very end.
I don't deny it. I've played the Newgrounds dating sims just because I wanted to see some tits.
And then they never show them.
Or you would be like, if you want to see the tits, you gotta pay for it to play the rest of the game. I'm like, no!
I don't have a credit card because I'm 13 years old.
There was a really popular Newgrounds game where you were trying to get in bed with this blonde chick, but I can't
remember. She was the most popular girl at school, and you had to go through all the brunettes and redheads first to get to her.
I can't remember.
And I remember I got it with the one you're talking about, and like you had to manage your cash, you had a job and shit like that that you had to do.
I think so. I almost remembered what the name was, and then I forgot it. It was obviously like the game was like they had a Japanese name, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh no, I played one that was all made by Americans, probably just with the Japanese anime shit. That's before I even knew that fucking people like truly got off on fucking hentai. That's before I knew what fetishes were. That was a long fucking time ago. And now that I know what fetishes are, as soon as I come across a fetish that unsettles me, I immediately stop. I'm like
masking or
like pegging or something.
What's masking?
Where you wear like latex fucking creepy ass masks.
All right, I thought you were talking about like
terrifying.
I just associate that with like BDSM in a way.
Oh no, it's way worse.
I've seen it. Don't worry, I've seen it, and I've also seen pegging, and I've seen both of those combined because it's often combined pegging and masking. So
that's because the chick doesn't want to see who they're boning, and the guy doesn't want to see that he's being boned by a chick. That kind of comes into the whole cuckold thing. I don't know why we're talking about sex on a fucking gaming podcast. Sex and gaming bread, next on Game & Watchmen. Yeah. That's actually a...
Bread and porn.
Yeah, bread and porn.
Yeah. I'd watch bread porn.
I've seen a Mountain Dew fucking a sandwich before, so...
We've all seen the girl farting on the meatloaf. That's about the closest it's going to be.
Cake farts.
Cake farts, meatloaf farts. Meatloaf farts, let's get this done.
What are you doing to my meatloaf?
I gotta add the special slice to it.
Oh, my meatloaf.
All over my meatloaf, man.
Everybody look that up.
Yeah, don't.
Cake farts.
Cake farts, meatloaf farts. For life.
Cupcake farts.
Is there a cupcake farts?
Yeah, but apparently it was terrible.
Oh.
I think actually... When you have to use the word terrible...
She shove the cupcake in her butt, and then she farted, and the cupcake just flew out? That's what I want to see.
It'd be like the worst surprise birthday cake ever.
Surprise
birthday!
Oh, man. Like a surprise birthday party, you just like walk, you see an army of asses with like fucking cupcakes in them.
it's a bunch of asses.
It blows up like party streamers.
It's 21 gun salute.
Oh my gosh.
You know, out of 21 people, one of them's gonna accidentally shit themselves. You know it. Like law of averages dictates it.
Girls don't poop. Scientific fact.
Mm.
I can't prove otherwise. Actually, I don't want to talk about it.
Can we not do this, please, man?
You know, 3 years into a relationship, you reach to a committed point where one of you's doing the dookie, the other one's brushing the teeth, and none of you say anything about it. And she just drives you to work.
At least you didn't go into, like, we've all been there, right? Laying underneath a glass table.
Fuck glass. Silently weeping. So you can feel the warmth. Fucking gross. You know, actually, I was talking to Paul outside. We should try to play, like, a horrifically fucking, like, one of those really bad sex games. I was talking about, like, oh, I've always wanted to go into, like, Second Life with someone and just start, like, banging in the middle of, like, because people build, like, bars and, like, respectable establishments in there. Yeah. And I just want to go into, like, one of these establishments, just strip naked and start boning. Be like a fucking Second Life exhibitionist, but I'm pretty sure that's already a fucking thing.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure it's like 90% of the fucking game.
Your plan is to, there's the people who actually commit themselves to the game, yeah. And you and Paul are going to play dudes and butt-fuck each other in one of their establishments.
You know, I didn't mention that to him, but you fucking called it. Like, that's exactly what I said outside.
Except it was you and him, not me.
It was
and
you,
him.
Yeah.
Oh, well, of course it was me. I'm pretty.
Lady.
Yeah, I'm pretty like a lady. Yeah. So.
Oh, man.
It's the hair, man. Sometimes you just want something to hold on to.
So let's go ahead and wrap up I Am Bread. I don't want to talk about this game anymore, really.
There's nothing to talk about. That's...
You're bread. So let's go ahead and give the... Nate, do you have any merits of the game? Just any uplifting thoughts on the game?
Other than the Snake Plissken thing? No, not really.
Okay. You have your positives.
I was bread, and what's I'm happy. Negatives? Negatives... it's a gimmick. It's not like a game you say... It's barely a fucking single-A title. Like, it's just something you...
It's some 3D graphics with physics made in, like, Blender.
If Steam wasn't around, this is a game I could have found on Newgrounds.
It should have been on a fucking browser, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll get that. So, my positives game is that I found fun in it. The negatives of the game is it fucking really... It's early access, and I paid $8 for it, so... But yeah, so two-word review. Nate, go.
Peace. Or fuck.
Okay, that's five. You're done.
I didn't say five.
I'm bread.
Fucking shorten that title.
Became toast. And now, Nate, you get two actual words instead of fuck, shit. Which is five.
Shit game.
We should play a shit game.
Binding of Isaac has poop in it.
So does Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah, Conker's Bad Fur Day and Binding of Isaac are the only two games I can think of that have a lot of poop in it.
There's also Shit Adventure 3, the repoopening. Set up. Okay, I can't see it.
Is that real?
You pseudo used that joke last time with the Final Fantasy... Relightning-ning is what
it is. Yeah. Relightning-ning-ning. Yeah.
The relightning-ning.
Yeah, I can't help it. But I tried to keep a straight face for that. I just couldn't keep it up very long. Because the look in your eyes said, is that a real thing?
I want to play that game.
And the fact that you semi-believed me made it impossible for me to continue.
there's a game out there called Try Not to Fart.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I played it.
Fun.
You gamble on the fart?
You basically get put into awkward life situations, like your wedding, meeting a girl for the first time, and you have to play.
I played this game.
Yeah, press the. We played it at my house. We got the demo. Remember, we downloaded all those demos. We played like Echo the Dolphin and shit.
Yeah. Echo the Dolphin was fun.
Yeah, something we should revisit game. Yeah. I remember just being a dolphin as a kid, and we turned around and played that game as adults, like actually trying to play the fucking game. That game is stupid challenging.
I should put that on the list.
It's also really like it's really fucking
Jet
brutal.
Grind Radio as well.
Jet Set Radio, fucking high five that.
Yeah, fuck the police.
Dude, I have that soundtrack on like every computer I've ever owned. It's so good.
It is a good fucking soundtrack.
It's got, in fact, it has the Beastie Boys on it as the Hatch Brothers. They have like Count Bakula and shit like that. Good game. Really fun. Really cool story. Just a fucking blast to play. I think it's multiplayer now, too. You can just dick around with your friends up and start spray painting.
I didn't play with anybody.
I know there's multiplayer in the game where all you do is run at each other on skates and try to spray paint each other.
Oh, yeah, that mode. I played it on the fucking Dreamcast. So. Yeah,
I played on an Xbox. I played Jet Set Radio Future.
Oh, see, I don't think so. I know I played the first one, Jet Grind, when it came out in America, and then Jet Set when it came out as well.
Jet Set is good.
I played Jet Set and Jet Grind. I mean, it's the same fucking game, basically, but...
No, I think the Xbox version, the only difference it had with Jet Set Radio Future is it had a more expansive soundtrack, and I think you play, like, extra characters to play as.
That's cool.
Instead of just, like, bubblegum and shit.
Yeah.
Good game.
Bubblegum.
You got any good games that you haven't played in a while that you'd like to revisit, besides the one that we listed down earlier?
Space Channel 5.
Good games, well, that we haven't played in a while that I want to revisit?
Sure.
I guess Borderlands 2.
I'd like to go back with all the DLC now and actually play that with you. Especially,
We had a lot
Tiny
of good...
Teases Assault on Dragon Keep.
Yeah, we had a lot of good times playing.
Yeah, we had a blast. Except for the times that you were denying me my fucking loot. Goddamn cunt. Fucking.
I mean,
that's Nate, man.
Deal with it. Fucking deal with it.
You don't fuck with Nate and loot, dude.
I didn't, like, take. After I got my shotgun, I stopped taking all of your loot.
No, after you would give it to me, you would take it back before I can grab it.
Well, because it was fucking funny.
That's what I'm surprised. Like,
what other reason?
I'm surprised you don't like MMOs more than you do. Just because MMOs, like, it's the basically any MMO can be like.
That's a game I wanted to do. Subbed by is World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Just because I played it since vanilla, Burning Legion, Burning Crusade, and then I got Lich King. And I think, we played Lich King. Mm-hmm. Wait. Yeah, was it Lich King that we played together?
Yes, we did.
Okay. After that, I didn't really play Mists of Pandaria or Cataclysm. Nope. Or it was Cataclysm and Mists of Pandaria.
Right.
But a lot of people are talking about the new one, like, a lot. And I'm like...
It's cool for lore. I'd rather just read about it.
And I kind of just want to revisit the game, see what's changed. Because I know a lot of shit. Like, that the way the game was at the beginning... is completely different from what it's like now. It's a lot easier, they've made it easier to a point where sometimes there's not really challenge anymore.
There wasn't challenge for me to be. I min-maxed like a motherfucker. There ain't no challenge in that game. It's all math. Give me a calculator, a pen and paper, and tell me how a game works, I'll break that shit. That's why I'm a dungeon master. Mm-hmm. Here's why I don't want to play that MMO, is because that game requires a lot of time and a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
And those are two things that are very precious to me. And I hate to sound like a prick, but my time is money. Example, I like to play a lot of other video games. I like to put a lot of time in these video games. Unfortunately, there's only so much time in my life and only so many video games I can fucking play. And on the flip side, I have to spend even more time with a job to get more money for my video games.
Well, see, the nice thing is that with... the only time I go back and revisit WoW anymore is when they eventually always send me like a 10-day free trial.
But yeah, so you're still investing a lot of time in there that
I spend 10 days max. I don't even spend the whole 10 days playing it. I just check to see what's new.
I mean, granted, the new things are like graphics and a couple like, but the big thing about WoW has always been the in-game content.
Yeah.
And I was really big into the in-game content before Mists of Pandaria came down. And I remember the reason I quit is because I was a druid. And then patch 5.0 hit and fucking ruined everything, and I decided that I was against this. I remember playing it on the test ground before it even actually fucking hit, and I fucking quit. I was like, if this is what it's going to be like, I've min-maxed the shit out of my fucking character, and they're dumbing it down. They dumbed down a fucking already dumbed down fucking character.
You know, speaking of which, as far as servers go on that game, since you're talking about playing a game with sex in it, there's one of the servers, I forget which one it was, but it's like majorly a like cyber sex server. Like if you go to Goldshire, it gets fucking dirty real fast. Like there's actually like they made the basement of Goldshire Inn like a fucking sex dungeon. Like people are just like partying down there and fucking.
And WoW.
Yeah.
Okay. If you devoted that much time to doing it well, you could probably do shit like that in real life. It's really easy. Step one, sign on FetLife. Step two, join a community and start talking to people. Step three, go to a sex dungeon and get raped. That is exactly how that works.
It's not really rape if you go physically to the sex dungeon. Yeah, like, what do you expect?
It's play rape.
That's basically like a fucking signed consent form.
I kid.
You're going to a sex dungeon. You're just asking to get raped.
A lot of those people in the FetLife community are really excellent individuals who I've met and hung out with, like at certain bars in my lifetime. Never really done anything with them because I'm not about that. But I completely support them, and they're really, really, really fucking cool about it. So. If what I was saying was for humor's aspect, I don't want anyone to get offended about that. Like, I really don't, because I don't think bad about those people. Yeah. I think bad about furries. Did you hear that a whole bunch of furries at the FurryCon convention or whatever it's called got fucking chlorine gassed out of the hotel?
Really?
Somebody chlorine gassed a furry convention.
Wow.
People
really hate furries.
I don't feel bad because they're human beings and no one should be subjected to shit like that. But at the same time, they're furries. Like, I
personally don't have a problem with furries. Like, a lot of people are always like, man, it's disgusting. This some disgusting shit.
I'm just disgusting.
Like, they fucking do it. Everybody has their fucking weird shit. Yeah. So let them have their weird shit.
Some people just want to be an animal. That's what weirds me out a bit. I'm like, there's a bunch of really creepy black magic ways to do that instead of dressing up in fake fur.
Yeah. And it's not like furries are actually fucking participating in bestiality.
No, but it's pretty fucking disgusting.
In the same way as any other roleplay would.
You know, I do find it disgusting that someone would actually fucking attack someone for... It's not even a religious belief or a political belief. It's a fucking sexual thing. Not even sexual thing. It's not even a sexual thing. It's just a way of life for these people, and someone would attack them for that shit. And as much as I want to joke about it, like, I can't find the room to joke about it because they're fucking people who are just enjoying like-minded individuals in a fucking safe, a supposedly safe environment. And someone would try. It's like if we had a convention for people who cosplay, and someone attacked cosplayers. Like, people attack cosplayers all the time verbally, but I don't think it's ever been done like. Physically? Like well, in that maybe manner.
Somebody attacking, or punching somebody. I don't think
like punching like somebody or
like terrorist attack.
Yeah, and I honestly I have no problem against anybody's choices. Like, I personally love cosplaying. Like, if I had the fucking money and the time to do it, I totally would. I would dress up as like every one of my heroes in video games. Whatever. I'd be like a Duke Nukem Master Chief Link on a hoverboard from Back to the Future. Like. Which would be excellent to see, you know. And I love stuff like that. Like, the one cosplay that I would love to do for a long time, like, what I always want to do is dressing up as Darth Revan. Like, because his fucking outfit's cool. Like, I love outfits in games. I really do. And the fact that, like, there's...
Costume design's important, man. Like, I'm not a big fan of Spider-Man, but he's got some of the best fucking costumes in comics or gaming, period.
I completely disagree. I fucking hate Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't like him, but he's got some of the coolest costume design.
He's got some cool costumes. I like the futuristic Spideys.
Yeah, that's what I mean, is that his alternate costumes
One hero that has the best alternate costumes and even like fan art costumes is fucking Batman. Not even a big fan of Batman, but there was this...
Wolverines are cool, too.
Huh?
Wolverines are cool too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Patch is fucking amazing.
But there was a contest for people who did like model designs for they did for different. Like, I think I don't know if it was just for DC or whatever, but they just did. It was for E3. They did like model designs, like 3D Blender designs or like that. And someone made a Viking Batman, and it was some of the. It was like the sickest looking thing I ever seen. Like, it's all just brutal Batman. He's just got this massive beard. Oh man, I was like, if they made a comic book out of that, I would buy every single issue of that. I love Vikings.
If I remember correctly, there's this. I was looking at like random comic book heroes or whatever, and there's this anti-hero, kind of like Punisher. And his name is Penance, and he's this dude that's just like he kind of looks like Rorschach, but he's covered in like spikes.
Yeah, Penance.
Yeah, Penance. Yeah, that dude looked fucking badass.
He was on a video game recently. I forget which one it was. There might have been a. I can't remember which video game it was, but you had to fight Penance.
Plus, that's a badass name.
You know, I think it might have been the Deadpool game.
No, it makes sense.
It might have been. I don't know. I don't remember very much about the Deadpool game besides the fact that I had fun with it.
Mm-hmm. I never played it.
I didn't play it.
I'm not a huge fan of the whole Deadpool craze.
I don't like any kind of hype ever. Like, I don't fall for hype, mostly because I used to listen to 90s drum and bass, and one of the biggest songs was "Don't Believe the Hype," and I was like, I won't. I promise I won't. So ever since then, I've been like, fuck the mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, my British accent. I'm like, oh, I can't believe the hype, man. It's just, I can't against it. Screw the mainstream. Don't believe the hype. Dude, that's fucking, I have like the punky British kid inside of me. And that's why I don't get up on the hype, but I love Deadpool because I find him, his third person, fourth wall breaking narratives are hilarious to me. Like,
well, the thing is that he started off as a parody of an original, like a DC character. Like, the only reason Deadpool exists is because DC created Deathstroke, or Slade Wilson, or whatever iteration you want to talk about. Like, that's why he exists. And then they just fucking ran with it.
And, you know, it turned into a life its own. But a lot of things kind of come out like that, though.
I mean, it turned into, like, a fucking slapstick comedy. I mean, like you said,
he's loose cannon. I love loose cannon.
Because a lot of things, yeah, you're right, a lot of things do happen like that. Because, I mean, go back to fucking Street Fighter, like, Dan Hibiki, like, he's a pretty well-known character now. The only reason he's around is because fucking SNK made a character that ripped off Ryu. So they just fired back with Dan.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Oh, really?
Street Fighter 2, remember?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He wasn't around Street Fighter 2.
I love Street Fighter 2.
That's ridiculous.
I lost my shit. Like, every time I fucking re-listen to that, I just lost my shit every fucking time.
It's because... Yeah. I love that game. It's fun. It's good. It's like the best Street Fighter, man. In my opinion. But I have never even played the first one. So.
It's the one that started the combo system, which paved the way for every fighting game that came after it, basically.
That's true.
Because, I mean, and that was originally a glitch. Like, they didn't even want that to happen, but it did. That's true. So it revolutionized all of fighting games in general.
I don't know. I'm a bigger Mortal Kombat fan, in my opinion.
Really?
I like the darkness and the evilness behind it.
Well, what I mean is Mortal Kombat came out of the creation of the Street Fighter 2 combo system.
Right.
And it's funny because Mortal Kombat started because it was originally going to be a Jean-Claude Van Damme fighting game, and Van Damme backed out. So that's where Johnny Cage comes from. They referenced it, and it looks like he's designed like he is in Bloodsport.
Yep.
In the original game. So that's where that came from, but it's a really cool game. I agree with you. I love Mortal Kombat because I played all of Mortal Kombat too.
I like it because there's a lot. Like,
I grew up on Street Fighter, but I played just as many Mortal Kombat games.
Right. I just like because to me when I was growing up on Sega Genesis, it was the cartoony Street Fighter versus the not so cartoony Mortal Kombat, and I like that. Not so. I was like, look at those graphics. It's like the real people. I ripped that fucking guy's head off. Brutal.
Yeah, because it was usually like taking photos instead of drawing.
One thing I do miss from Street Fighter though is the fact that in Mortal Kombat you could beat the shit out of a car faster than the other guy. Those fucking bonus modes, whatever they're called.
Oh yeah, the bonus round.
They had it in Mortal Kombat. They had like the test your might.
Yes. And test your sight and test your luck and
all
kinds of shit now.
Yeah.
Your testicular fortitude.
Which is good. I mean, I like it when a game breaks it up like that a little bit. I mean, I feel like in Mortal Kombat 9, the only reason they included it was for bullshit. Because they just appeared in the challenge tower.
Yeah, they're like, let's do an old throwback or whatever.
But then again, Mortal Kombat did have, like, they included a whole bunch of different... They tried a whole bunch of stuff. Like, you remember the fucking, like, the Mortal Kombat chess game?
Yeah.
That was in there?
Yeah.
That shit was ridiculous. I loved it.
Started getting crazy with that franchise, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm excited for Mortal Kombat X, because it seems like they're going back to their fucking grit roots. Like, fucking just blood and guts, let's do this shit.
Yeah,
you know, let's turn it back into a fighting game instead of a goofy chess game.
I know they're releasing
you know,
a new Injustice as well. It's already in the works.
Yeah,
I didn't play the other ones.
I can't remember what Mortal Kombat it was, but there was a bunch of things. You'd go to this, I think it was like a graveyard or something.
It was the crypt.
You'd unlock
crypt cones.
Yeah.
Coins or whatever.
And then one of them was cooking a scorpion.
Oh, I love that shit. It was so funny.
When he's spinning he spins his fucking axe and winks at the camera and fucking smashes a cake or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As you know, there's actually a spooky-ass Easter egg in the crypt that if you stay idle for like 5 minutes, there's a jump scare.
No, yeah, it just pops up. It's like a fucking goblin demon.
It's like a ghoul. It's like, and you're like, and poop yourself.
I might have seen that, but I can't remember.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, honestly, if you're not expecting it. Mm-hmm. But usually if I'm not moving around, if I'm staying idle, I'm like up, like, you know, making a sandwich or pooping or both.
I'm just trying to image that, and all I just saw a poop sandwich, and I was just like, Paul, what do you do? What do you do with your life? This is why no one fights you. It's because when they go to fight you, they see you have a poop sandwich, they're like, he must be homeless.
Or hard fucking core.
Or too hardcore for me, Jesus.
Wouldn't it be easier to make a poop hot dog than a poop sandwich?
Yeah, but...
ease is not the question.
It's fucking easier to make a hot dog in general. It really is. Not to make a good hot dog. I can make a good hot dog. I'll have to make you guys good hot dogs one of these days. In fact, I'll invite anyone who listens to this to come over to my house and get a good hot dog. Not my dick. Maybe.
Yeah.
I love hot dogs, dude. Okay, so here's what I'm doing. This is separate to the podcast. You guys can join me on this goddamn journey if you're down. But I want to go to every establishment in Tucson, Arizona that sells hot dogs and rate them. I want to figure out which place... rate.
Where the fuck did this even come from in your brain?
I like hot dogs.
I love hot dogs.
And I only know, like...
I mean, I'm down. I just want to know, like, how this fucking started. Okay, because
the two cuisines that fucking Tucson is known for is our Sonoran dog, which was invented here, and the chimichanga, which is invented here, which is just a deep-fried enchilada, like, because they fucked up or something like that at,
It's a deep-fried burrito, but yeah.
Whatever. And then you can get it enchilada style, which is fucking delicious.
Yeah, dump enchilada sauce on it.
Okay. So, and I was thinking, because I went to Kenny D's, which is this crazy Chicago place, and I got a hot dog from there. And I got two things from there. I got a BLT and a hot dog. That BLT was one of the best BLTs I've had in my life, by the way, because it came with like a pound of fucking Applewood caramelized bacon on it. And I was like, holy shit, and it was huge. I have a picture of it. I'm going to show you guys after this. It was awesome. And then I got a hot dog. Well, I was so full after the BLT, I kept the hot dog, and they wrapped the French fries around it, so you get all that awesome French fry saltiness on it. And so I didn't eat it till the day before because I had left it in someone's car. So I woke up like super hungover the next day, and I ate my hot dog. And I remember I was like, you know, for it being cold and old, this is really good hot dog. And I got thinking, I was like, I wonder what the best hot dog in Tucson is. I'm gonna have to try them all. So that's what I'm gonna do.
I'm in.
I'm gonna try them all.
Yeah, sure. All right.
You know, I don't know if I'm gonna include Sonoran dogs because that's its own thing. Maybe, because everyone sells Sonoran dogs now. There's only, like, two... Everyone's like, oh, the best one is Eduardo Canelo, because it's, like, the original.
I can't. When it comes to Mexican food and stuff like hot dogs and stuff like that, I have to get it from a fucking food truck. Just like with tamales.
It's the best.
It's like tamales.
You gotta get the tamales from the tamale lady.
You can't... If the tamales you're buying don't come out of a fucking shopping cart... they're not worth it.
No, mine come from plastic bags. The lady comes to the bar, and you're like, fuck it, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's even fucking better.
Wasted. She's like, tamale? I'm like, I don't have any cash, I'm so sorry.
No, that's even better, but like, I'm talking like some random-ass lady is like outside of a fucking Safeway.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Borrowing their fucking shopping cart to sell tamales out of.
It's probably the same lady. I think her name's Maria. She's fucking awesome. Best tamales in Tucson.
Yeah.
She goes to like every bar. If you're at a bar... and it's at nighttime, and a girl comes in with 2 fucking giant bags on her arms, asking if you want tamales. Fucking get them, get them. If you're not in Tucson, I apologize because none of this is relevant to you. we do have some global listeners, so you know, I'm sorry.
From Norway?
We have someone from Norway, a couple people from Britain.
Dude, I watched an Extra Credits episode recently. They've been talking about. They like indie developers in certain nations and the struggles they might face in their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about Norway, and they kind of like offhandedly mentioned the fact that McDonald's workers in Norway make $20 an hour. And I was like, I want to move to Norway.
Well, it's all relative.
It's relative. Yeah, it's expensive to live there, but they do tend to make more money than we do,
schools,
for sure.
School's free.
Yeah, school's free.
Prison is hella cool.
Their healthcare system's really good too.
Yeah, if you that one guy who murdered all those fucking kids at that beach in America, he'd be fucking like put to the axe. In Norway, he got like 21 years, which is like the maximum sentence you can get. Bishop Varg stabbed a guy in the head. He just got out recently.
Yep.
Granted, he's banned all across the world because he's such a fucking bigot, but...
Yep.
That's not
Varg is one hell of a... person. I don't really know how to follow that up. Do you know who Varg Vikernes is?
No.
He's part of the black metal band... You wouldn't know, but... he was part of a black metal band called Mayhem. He was in Mayhem, right? Josh?
I think so.
Okay, he was in Mayhem. Mayhem was one of the bands that was known for burning churches and shit. And black metal at that time had this huge, like, they basically had this, like, power struggle. There was, like, they were huge on being on labels and shit, right?
Paul, I just want to point out, it looks like you have a huge case of elephantitis in your testicles right now.
Looks like.
It looks
he's
like.
Wearing, he is wearing a hoodie. With one of those joined pockets at the front, and whatever's in it is hanging down over his crotch, right?
He's like, no, that's my dick.
I was like, oh no, you're confused, Nate.
No, I had to
that is like, this is not a double it up, double it's pocketed
like
run hoodie.
Like a fucking IV cord, it just sits here.
But anyways, yeah. To wrap up the Varg Vikernes story real fast. There was another black metal band. There was a power struggle with that black metal band. One of the members of that band contacted Varg to talk to him about something. Varg was under the impression when he got there, like he had heard on a voicemail or a call or something that this other dude had planned to kill him or something. He goes over to his house. They talk. They get in a struggle. He thinks the dude is going to his bedroom to go grab his gun because he knows he has guns in his bedroom. And so he just grabs the kitchen knife and stabs him like 47 times. And he claims the dude fell through glass. That's why he was cut up so badly. And he's all like, I was just defending myself. You stabbed him 47 times, Varg.
I mean, at one point, like... I mean, if the dude dies, right, on, like, say, the first stab, what's stopping you from doing, like, 46 more? I mean, he's a fucking corpse already. Yeah. I mean, you might as well get your mileage out of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but that is who Varg is. Get put to death, because it's Norway. They're progressive over there.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you can get beat at a bus stop for being gay, but... Speaking of prejudice, did you know that there was a game made that actually has to do with a self-defense thing where you play the role of a cop and in front of you images flashes real fast and it just comes up on you and it's an individual and they have something in your hand and you have to quickly determine if they're a threat and shoot them or if they're not a threat and don't shoot them. And that game was... It's really cool. I don't want to talk about the findings on the podcast, but statistically they found that people shot black people even if they had like a wallet in their hand or like other colored people, and they even found that even black people did it. Like just statistically they popped up and they shot them, and it makes you wonder, I mean, is that like a prejudice in games? Like do we have that? Like do I have that? It doesn't matter if they're black, white, Asian, or whatever. I shoot everybody.
There was actually like a YouTube study on this too, where they had like three different people steal a bike. It was like a scraggly ass white guy, a scraggly ass black guy who wore like the same clothes, and then like a female. And like, you know, they semi questioned the white guy after a while, and then they hopped down this black guy's throat like instantaneously.
Yeah.
And then someone actually helped the girl steal a bike. Yeah. Like, he literally just helped the female, like, in front of his wife, just helped the female steal the bike.
And I've seen a similar YouTube video where it was a white dude and a black dude breaking into a car, and the white dude was doing it for fucking 20 minutes on the street, people were walking by, a cop just drove by, didn't even give a shit. And, like, he stopped, because he did it for 20 minutes and no one stopped him. Black dude comes over, and 3 minutes later, he's arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Shit's whack.
No, yeah.
White people criming.
I really don't want to
see that hashtag?
No.
There's this hashtag thing going on called white people criming, and it was white people posting all the crimes they get away with. Like, drunk girls driving under the influence, obviously. And then the cops, rather than ticketing them or taking them in, they just make sure they get home safely.
Oh, you
know. Like, that kind of shit.
That's happened to me, but I don't think it was because I was white. I think it was because I was, number one, stupid polite. Number two, stupid wasted. And number three, the cop didn't want to carry in a 20-year-old drunk person.
Yeah, I like to convince myself it was because I was polite. Because I got pulled over one time in a construction area, and they didn't ticket me. They were just like, just drive safe. I was like, okay, thank you. I was just polite, but if I was black, who knows?
I guess. I don't agree with racism shit.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's there, and that's the unfortunate part about it.
Yeah.
Especially, and it's like, it's just really, it's especially there. You can start to see it in video games.
Like, this is another reason why I'm super stoked that we're playing a particular game for the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk about that, because I do want to discuss some prelim shit on that game. We're going to... I'll go ahead and announce it. I'm not excited, so you don't have to interrupt me like I interrupted you, but we're playing Dragon Age Inquisition. You're about to, weren't you?
No.
Yeah. I caught you. You fucking
Paul itched. Wanted revenge
you
for last week.
You itched to that mic. You itched to it. But yeah, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be playing Dragon Age Inquisition, and I'm...
2 weeks because it's a long game and we want to absorb it fully.
We'll try to, at least. I don't know if we can do
it. Well, I mean, we can absorb more in 2 weeks than we could in one, for sure.
There was a lot to absorb in this game. I'll just go ahead and we'll mention that Paul and I have already gotten a head start on it. Paul's further than I am. But so far about that game is I'm noticing a lot of just BioWare in general just being absolutely progressive when it comes to civil rights issues, gay marriage, race, etc., 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 which is something I think that more developers need to take a choice into. Granted, they do it in a...
Like, because I'm thinking of the biggest civil rights issue, sort of, in Mass Effect, was the... God damn it, I can't remember what they're called now. The fucking toad people. What are they called?
Krogan?
The Krogan, yeah. The Krogan and their birthrights.
Yeah, that was...
And overpopulation, like that kind of shit.
Yeah, like shit like that, but like...
Also, Legion and whether or not the robots should be allowed to be sentient.
Oh.
Or yeah. Allowed to have individual thoughts, or if they should all be controlled. You know, like those kind of... I mean, that's like sci-fi civil rights.
You know, it's the same principles that we have in real life. And that's something that, you know, I think that... Even though I play video games to get away from real life issues, because I don't like thinking about them. I don't like waking up every morning knowing that the world is in practical shambles over shit that should have been solved 20 years ago if everyone was just fucking agreed that people are people, you know? And just like, I can't wait for the day, that'll never happen, by the way, that we all just wake up and realize we're all just fucking human. Human shit happens. Let's deal with it, get together, and fucking work on fixing something.
You know? You say that, man, but like the people I work with on a daily basis, like 50 years ago, they'd be in wards.
Yeah,
they'd
be sent to... You get fucking lobotomized and shit like that.
They'd be locked up, and that's where they'd be.
You know,
period.
We've gotten really far.
We've gotten further. Yeah.
You know, and I think that if, you know, exploring those themes in video games, because video games, I 100% think relay a certain form of art.
Yeah.
They're definitely a medium. Definitely a medium of art.
Yeah, they are.
Not all.
I will 100% back that up. I think it is art.
So are you just telling me that you think I Am Bread is a piece of art?
No.
Yeah.
It is.
I do not
think... Yeah, you just said that. You just backed me up. You think Iron Bread is a piece of art.
No.
You heard it first here on Game & Watchmen.
I think it's more than I treat games as like how some people would read a book to get a new perspective.
Absolutely.
Like for me, that's my.
When I read books, I really feel books. Like I connect with characters. Like if I can't connect with any characters, I don't connect with the story. And can't, because when I read books, I visualize myself as the main character. That's why every book that I read, there's a male main character.
That's the idea of a silent protagonist, is to make sure you come through in the character. That's why a lot of games have silent protagonists.
I guess. Well, I like what BioWare does.
It is, and you make your own
choices. I mean, granted, they're like almost black and white choices, but that's fine to me because at least it's almost like a choose your own story where the narrative is always there.
Sort of, except like when you pick a certain voice, for a certain like dialogue option, and you say something that you didn't know you were going to fucking say
based on
the snippet it gave you. It pulls you
away real bad. Yeah.
You're like, fuck!
Yeah, your character
conveys a tone. I'm an asshole. I'm sorry.
Like it was a genuine, inquisitive tone. I don't know if you had the. I'm not going to spoil anything. Did you have the talk with Solas at all? And you talked to him about the elves.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a legitimate question, but you fucking chastised this guy. I'm like, you abandoned, blah blah blah. I'm like. No.
Yeah, exactly. I did that same fucking choice.
And I was like, I just backed out of the car. I like pressed B real fast and ran out. And he's like, trying to like defend himself. He's like, I'm like, goodbye. Like, I felt so bad. I'll probably never talk to him again. Just have that awkward run. I'm like, so man, how you feeling about the Mels? I mean, what's up?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's, I really like, okay. It's like the procrastinism I'm talking about is, homosexuality in games is a theme that's becoming more and more and more apparent in certain games. Because, honestly, why can't we be accepting? We're fucking gamers. We should accept anyone. Like, really, that just...
Yeah, because we are the antisocial people.
Exactly.
In the past, we used to be the antisocial people who would like to be accepted as part of society.
But now that we've
And now we are accepted as part of society. And, we're like, fuck everybody.
We've also created our own society and then just brought in real world problems and we rift in the same places.
Yeah.
Think about when you're online. What do you get called online no matter what you do or who you are?
Fag.
Yeah, fag. Yeah. Such a fig.
Like, gay.
And then, I understand. Like, maybe I won't understand how offensive it is because, like, what the fuck are you going to call me? White bread? That's fine. I have a video game. I can play white bread. I don't care. Like, you know.
I'm a white male. You can't even hurt my feelings.
I don't think that we're the right people to discuss this because, I mean, we're all the same. We're just white males, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll never understand. But, you know, I have my gay friends and I know how they've grown up, and it's fucking tragic that you have to spend some parts of your fucking life being unaccepted by anything, feeling trapped, and then you come out into a world where you're just fucking oppressed, and then you turn around and play video games, your escape from the world, and the same shit happens to you in a video game that happens to you in the world, where the fuck do you go? I mean, you know, and that's, it's unfortunate, but that's why I like what BioWare is doing. They have, I mean, granted, it's set forward, it's not, you know, it's very black and white in the game. You just have a certain characters that can only be romanced by certain sexes, which is hilarious. We'll talk about the hilariousness that happens in those games, but
it's a good thing, though, because then there's overlap, there's bi characters, there's exclusively...
Also... A game like that just won Game of the Year at the VGA, the Video Game Awards, and that's got to go say something. That something this progressive, it became this popular and this loved and respected that it gets. You know, granted, it's the Spike Video Game Awards, but it's like the only video game awards that we really have, and it got Game of the Year. You know, that's fantastic. Yeah, that was going up against fucking Call of Duty. I don't know if it was it was going up against like what Call of Duty and what else came out that was huge. Assassin's Creed Unity, which was a failure, fucking failed hard. But
well, because you can't have a stealth game with four fucking dingleberries running around.
True. That's why I don't like playing Payday with anybody else I don't know. It's because you have then you and then three other dingleberries that are running around trying to like we can just do this real fast and get some cash. Oh. So. Yeah, I mean, also, if anyone wants to play Payday with Nate and I, just let us know, because we need other people. I need other people. He doesn't. He's like, let's get a pickup group. Fuck you, Nate. You don't even know. You don't even know.
I've got it on PS3. I just don't have it on PC.
Yeah, it's worth it. It really is. I know. I'm excited to talk about Dragon Age. I think that there's a lot of fucking content in that game already. We'll already have a ton of shit to talk about in that game. I could fill, so far, a fucking 90-minute cup full of shit for that game, and I'm not that far into it. So I really, really think that the 2 weeks from now, we're going to dedicate a lot to Dragon Age Inquisition. I think we'll all agree right now to try to keep the spoilers at a complete minimum, because that game, there's a lot of shit to chew through in that game.
Oh yeah, stuff that you don't want ruined for you.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we're trying to do is we're going to try to invite a guest on the show to also talk about it, someone who's very, very much into that game, which is exciting, because to get passion is going to be excellent. So
yeah.
Right, rather than
I don't have the same passion as this individual does.
Oh, fuck no, I don't. Like, I'm jaded as fuck. Like, I love BioWare. Like, I would drop to my knees and suck the dick of almost any BioWare employee, save like the janitors. But I'm always super critical about this kind of stuff.
So if I became a BioWare beta tester, you would?
No, beta testers don't count.
I'm employed by BioWare. I'm a BioWare employee.
Someone actually works on the games?
Okay, I'll play.
I'm
working on it.
Would you blow the janitor or the beta tester if you had to choose?
If I had to choose?
Yeah, if you had to choose.
I have access to the Max Effect that you don't, and I can let you play it.
All right, yeah, beta tester.
Yeah, done. Totes. All right, I'm down.
Oh, my God.
I'm sending an email now.
As we speak.
That'll be fine. So, you guys heard any cool gaming news in the last couple weeks? Besides, like, the Video Game Awards, I have the list.
Honestly, I don't really keep up with gaming news.
The fucking trolling that Sony did at the conference for Final Fantasy VII. New trailer dropped for Street Fighter V, which is fucking earth-shattering for me, except for the fact that it's a PS4 exclusive. I mean, for now, anyway. Capcom is a surly wench when it comes to offering exclusives, so... Yeah. We'll see how long that lasts. The whole thing that Inquisition, as a matter of fact, will not be doing DLC for characters, because gamers ruin that for everybody by saying that DLC should not appear on disc, which is a double-edged sword. But
I kind of agree with gamers in that sense. Just because it's like, when you're buying the game, you're buying the disc, you're buying everything that's on it. Why can't I have access to what's
because
already
on the disc? Because it limits the content as far as, like, you know, DLC that would be a character, like a new character, that needs more finishing as far as extra patch content. Because not the entire thing is on the disc.
Oh, okay.
Just the.
Well, yeah, if it were the case.
Most of the assets.
If it were the case, like, when Mass Effect 3 launched and there was a bonus character that you could have in your group, and if that was already on the disc and they just literally put a pay gate, that's bullshit.
That's what it
no,
was.
No, but what it is...
Is that
is,
what it was?
It was
no, the, what it is, they add the commissions and stuff when they do the patch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can have the extra character, but he's an empty hat. Like, he's a box of rocks. Like, yeah, you have him, but you don't have anything that's going to make him worthy as
there,
a character.
There has been, I can't name them off the top of my head, but I do know that there are games that do have pay gates.
Oh, yeah, there are.
Fucking, and that, and to me, I do believe it's bullshit to put that in place in the first place. I don't agree with the whole, well, I paid for it, I have it. Well, technically, you didn't pay for it, that's why you don't have it. I just think it's a bullshit move in general to do. I mean, that's like... Mm. That's like
it's a fucking cash grab, and I fucking hate that.
But the thing is that it limits the content you can get, is my question. So, I mean, like, if you, like, this is something you want, right? Like, you want the extra character? You say you paid for it, but in reality, you probably didn't, because, you know, they would have tacked on an extra $10 for the fucking DLC outright. Instead of the $60 game, it'd be like, here's the first game with the first DLC. There you go.
Well, see, it's the like thing, too, though, is that, it, like, say you're paying $10 to get a character, right? And the game itself costs $60.
Yeah.
Like, why is this character effectively, shit, I'm trying to think. I'm not good with numbers, but...
Why is he a bonus and not, like...
No, like, percentage-wise, why is this character worth $10 compared to the $60 game and all the time and effort that was put into the game as a whole?
Oh, no, it's definitely overcharged.
It seems like, yeah, it's overcharged.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is part
of
the problem.
I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
I'm just arguing the fact that...
It's like, if I'm paying $10, I should get a character and a lot more content rather than just the character.
You usually get the character, all of its personal missions, and then, like, a couple extra side missions. But the thing is that if you argue that you shouldn't be able to have it on the disc, all they're doing is storing some basic assets on the disc. so that you can get these new characters. Like, I understand why they do it with like fighting games, because like Capcom does this shit all the time. People got pissed at Capcom for doing it because basically the full game was on the disc the entire time. And what you really gain in that is a couple cutscenes and like a character with like certain fighting moves, which is what you'd get like if you say hacked like a BioWare game and got the character. You'd get the character and its moveset, but you wouldn't get anything that makes the character interesting.
You get the bread, but not the sandwich.
Yeah, I guess so. So you don't get like the things that flesh the character out that make it someone you'd actually want to play. Like, you just get the character, which in a BioWare game, that's not what you pay for. You don't pay to see the sprite, like, or I say sprite, but you don't pay to see the figure do its actions in the fight scenes.
You play the game to talk to it, to understand it, know it.
You play that game to make a new friend, basically. Like, the BioWare characters are characters that I like and associate with. Like, I still remember the first time I met Aten Rand in fucking, you know, KOTOR 2.
Right, yeah.
And I still remember chilling out with Alistair and in fucking Dragon Age Origins. You know what I mean? There's like these characters that I know and I internalize and I use to view people that I know in my own life and rationalize it through that. That's why I play this game. So if they have to store those assets on that disc in order to make a new character possible that they haven't quite finished yet.
You know who I miss from Dragon Age? Fucking do it. I miss the dog from the first one.
Oh, yeah.
The Mabry.
Oh, the Mabry Warhound, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in the second one.
I was going to say that one of the things I miss is that I do not like DLC. I just don't really like the concept of DLC, but I do like expansions. Like, yeah, an entire second half of a game that was... Like, they're creating an entire second part of a game, basically, with a whole lot of new content.
I hate what Warner Brothers does.
An appropriate price for the expansion. DLC, when it's just adding new guns, new character, new outfits, kind of like what fucking Payday 2 does. They just add... They add a couple of missions, not enough to, like, warrant... DLC is, like, small bites, and I don't want small bites of something. It's the same thing as, like, fucking early access.
I mean, in that regard, you just don't buy them.
But yeah, that's all they've released is DLC. They don't actually release an expansion set. The only time it's okay is like when you get like say Skyrim. You wait for all the DLC to come out, and then you just buy Game of the Year Edition because then you get the game as it fucking should be.
You know completed. What all DLC?
Well, you can buy the season pass, and that's essentially like buying an expansion. You pay $25 at the start.
What most DLC is these days is Oblivion horse armor all over again. That's like 80% of all DLC. Like, look at Warner Brother games. Warner Brother does Arkham Asylum, the Batman games, and then Shadow of Mordor. All their fucking DLC is make Batman look different. Or don't.
Yeah.
Give us $30. You can have all Batman's difference. Or you could... And, like, they, like, advertise it as, like, oh, this is fucking game-changing. You get to play as the Hand of Sauron in Sword of Shadows of Mordor. Well, I thought there was going to be, like, a mission or some bullshit for it. No, it's just the skin. It's the same fucking shit. And it doesn't even make sense lore-wise at all. You know, so... I'm frustrated about that kind of shit. And... I honestly think that games need to stop DLCing players to death.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm getting nickel and dimed. I'd rather just buy a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you
feel
like
I'm getting a lot, because I don't want to pay just to get some horse armor. I'd rather the horse armor be a part of a bigger expansion.
Yeah, like, you know, like as an added bonus.
There's horse armor in the expansion too. Not, I'm gonna spend like fucking $6 to get this cool horse armor. That's not fucking.
So if you buy the season pass, it's that same idea.
Yeah.
So like, if I got the...
Well, yeah, I know.
Like, when Dragon Age Inquisition dropped, you pay an extra $10 at the start, you get $30 worth of DLC.
Yeah.
That's how they do it now. Some
DLC I find accepting. I guess I just don't like the where they only it's DLC for very small shit. I like DLC like Borderlands 2, which is basically an expansion. Like, all of it together is basically an expansion because it's not
only
new areas,
new characters, new dialogue, new missions.
Yeah, every time
new
they
guns.
Release DLC, it's a whole new chunk of the world. Along with new weapons, along with new bosses, sometimes along with new characters.
Or if they do release DLC, don't release one thing at a time. don't release, I'm trying to think of a game that would do shit like that. Just like where they release like a new weapon or a new vehicle or a new couple of weapons. It's like saving it up,
Borderlands 2 is guilty of that. Yeah. I just said that I like their big DLCs. But then they still nickel and dime you to death with all these like fucking like extra heads and
oh my god, the fucking costumes and shit like that. Just costumes.
I'd rather that all just be in one gigantic fucking pack. You know, if you're gonna release all this bonus content with like costumes and shit, I'd rather you just release the whole thing in one big pack for like $10.
You know, game
rather than fucking everything's like 90 cents. I just don't like it.
It's also
a pain in the ass to look through.
If it's nothing game changing, don't charge us for it. You know, if you're essentially by charging us for it, it's like saying, well, we didn't think the game was complete enough or expensive enough, so you need to pay us extra money so you can make the game better. Even though half the shit you buy doesn't make the game any different at all, it just changes what you do. It changes, instead of running around with a fucking longsword, now I have two swords. Fucking whoop-de-doo. Does it change anything? No.
Well, that's what Street Fighter Cross Tekken did with their DLC. It's released free. But I mean, it wasn't in the initial game.
Yeah.
But like, they do color customization for your costume. Cool. But they released it all free. You just have to have like, you know, Live or whatever to get it.
Right.
Which is cool. I mean, Minecraft does that too. They release sample packs for their costume changes.
Which you can't save any of the worlds in it or make any go do creative mode. But yeah. Minecraft on the fucking Xbox 360 is a goddamn joke. It is a fucking joke. Because you know how skins work on the PC? You download the motherfuckers, upload it on Minecraft.net, bam, you have a new skin. On Xbox, it's like, well, if you give us $5, you can get like 30 skins, and you're only going to use one of them. No. The rest suck. Like, I just wanted to be a goddamn narwhal. And you have this limited game world. It's just complete bullshit. DLC is complete bullshit. Well, anyways, I got the Game Awards winners up here. I'll go ahead and announce them if you'd like.
Okay.
So at the Video Game Awards 2014, the best performance went to Trey Parker as the various voices in the South Park Stick of Truth. The best score and soundtrack went to Destiny. The best online experience was the Destiny, which I thought that was fucking broken at the beginning, so I don't know how that won.
Which means the raid system where it took like 30 hours, dudes, 16 hours to do the fucking quest.
Saying that everybody else had a broken ass online experience if they fucking won, which is pathetic for gaming. Best mobile handheld game is Hearthstone. Best fighting game is Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U. Developer of the Year is Nintendo. They actually got Developer of the Year. Best sports racing game is Mario Kart 8. The best shooter was Far Cry 4, which I'm excited because it wasn't Call of Duty or Battlefield or anything. Games for Change, I don't know what this category is, but it was Valiant Hearts The Great War. The best narrative was also Valiant Hearts The Great War. Industry icon was Roberta and Ken Williams. I have no clue who they are. I'm sure I should look them up. Best independent name was independent game was Shovel Knight. The best remastered game was Grand Theft Auto V. The best action game was Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor. Best family game was Mario Kart 8. Best role-playing game was Dragon Age Inquisition. And Game of the Year went to Dragon Age Inquisition. Then there's some fan choice, which was most anticipated game is Witcher 3, which I would believe that for sure. And then the rest of them were the best. And then the one I liked was the best fan creation was Twitch Plays Pokemon by Anonymous.
Fuck yeah.
Which is awesome.
I'm glad I got some recognition.
So, yeah.
That is an entire social experiment in itself.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. That's excellent. I haven't really done that because I don't really sign up on Twitch very much. I should, because now that I'm doing all this shit, I should just, here's what I do playing video games. Watch me. But I don't know. I actually like the announcements for this year's Video Game Awards because it isn't controlled by one specific genre. Seems like a lot of those games are well deserved games, and also it's good to see some Nintendo love up there.
Yeah.
You know, I think Nintendo has had a really tough time getting their shit into gear. Especially the Wii U. The only reason I was going to get a Wii U to play Monster Hunter, which is a single-player game, I still want to do it. But the only reason I won't get a Wii U anymore is because I found out that it only works with only one of those big-ass Wiimotes works at a time. Everyone else has to use a regular-ass Wiimote. And I think that's dumb.
Yeah.
And if that was any different, I would get
one. It's kind of cool because you basically get a console and a Game Boy at the same time.
That can only work in your house near the Wii U.
Well, yeah, still, though.
They're like, well, if you want to take this elsewhere, get a 3DS, and then have to spend more Nintendo money. It's, you know, it would be a cool business model if they had any fucking games on it.
Yep. You know, I feel like with Nintendo, the thing that sucks with Nintendo is that they have the possibility of being one of the most exciting game companies, but they do not release any of the fucking games anybody wants to play. Like, everybody wants Earthbound. Everybody wants fucking Metroid. And everybody wants Star Fox. I heard they are making a Star Fox, haven't announced anything.
They announced it.
They
kind of announced it in an interview.
Zelda. Yeah, they said they're making a Star Fox game, but they didn't show anything about it.
But it's going to be out before the next Zelda.
Yeah, but there's just so many games that people want to see, especially with their biggest franchise, Super Smash Brothers. All they have to do is introduce characters that were obscure in the past. People will play that character. Some people end up loving that character. You're going to have a fan base in which you can then release that game later.
They never re-released Ice Climbers.
Yeah. They took Ice Climbers out of the game.
With Fire Emblem, between Smash Brothers Tank Wars.
Fire Emblem became huge in America because of fucking Super Smash Brothers.
And Tank Wars.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know, who's in Tank Wars?
That's all they need to do.
No, Tank Wars is it's the same style of game.
Oh, okay.
But Tank Wars was big here, so Japan was like, all right, here you go.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think Nintendo really needs to fucking adhere. In order to survive the next year, they need, they're releasing a Zelda and a Star Fox, apparently. Mm-hmm. That's enough to save them this year. 2016, they need to get with public opinion. They need to fix their fucking shit.
To a certain extent, I think they are fixing that because a lot of people wanted Majora's Mask on 3DS, and they are finally actually doing that.
Yeah.
And it's because of how many... It's not... They weren't like, oh yeah, we're going to make Majora's Mask on 3DS now. They're doing it because fans want it so badly.
By the way, the new Zelda looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
It looks very cool. It looks like a huge world, open world kind of shit. It's basically.
Well, hopefully there's a lot to do in the world, but
yeah,
I doubt
so
there
far
will
it looked
be.
Pretty goddamn empty.
Yeah, it looks like it's just going to be a big empty world, and it's going to be like Wind Waker, probably. Except instead of sailing in one direction for an extended period of time, you're going to be riding your horse in one direction for an extended period of time. Because if you noticed, the horse moves on its own now. You just kind of direct where it's going; it'll just run forward. That's exactly like Wind Waker. But a lot of people like Wind Waker, so we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, I think it's combining all the aspects of the since Ocarina of Time, all the aspects of Zelda that people love, and putting it into one game, which is smart. Because I loved Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess. I didn't play the rest of them, and I heard Skyward Sword was poo poo.
I don't like it. Well, Skyward Sword just held your hand way too much. Like every time, you know what sucked the most about it? Every time you would shut off your console and come back into the game, anytime you would pick up a really just common item,
this is a rupee.
Exactly what it fucking did every fucking time. It was stupid. I know what a rupee is. I played it yesterday.
But 500 of these in my wallet.
Yeah, if you turn off your console and turn it back on, it will give you all the tutorials on every item you pick up. There is not.
Fuck.
And I was like, what the fuck are you thinking?
That's one thing that I think.
And that made me want to quit because every time I'd start it up, I got tired of fucking, I'd be like, I need that gold skull, but I don't want to pick it up because I don't want to have to fucking smash through a text box again. Okay. You know? It's just stupid. That's why I hated the game. It was just like stupid shit like that, and then it was just like it dragged on for too long.
What did we decide to play next week for next week? Like an intermittent game?
I discussed... I kind of like the idea of doing retrospective games and then games that we haven't played before. And with the games we haven't played before, we give the... Like, okay. Example. This week we're going to be playing... 2 weeks from now we're going to be doing an episode on Dragon Age Inquisition because we're going to be playing it for 2 weeks. So next week we would talk about a game we had all played before because we have played a lot of games. We pick a game that we really like to talk about, or a game that we thought was completely shitty, and reasons why said game either was a success or failed, how it influenced more video games today. Maybe this video game, no other video games have done something like said video game before. And then we would do, the next week after that, we would do the game that we all discuss playing, and then so on and so forth. At least with bigger games. If it's a smaller game, we can get away with doing one every week.
I like that idea. I think next week we should go ahead and talk about the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Sticking with an RPG.
Kind of, it's all something we know very well, too. And,
very well.
And we're talking like Elder Scrolls 3, 4, and 5. Yeah. Because might as well talk about all of them.
I do want to talk about all of them.
It's easy, especially because I have gripes with the fifth game. And I can give reasons why I have gripes with that compared to the
Skyrim
previous games.
For all you non-lore people out there, Skyrim is the fifth game.
And that's kind of like a perfect example of what I was talking about, like how maybe predecessors are better than their successors, or maybe how what Skyrim did that was better than the previous games.
Or maybe how you're comparing apples to almost fucking oranges. Apples to grapples.
I don't know.
Ooples and bananas.
Ooples and bananas. I was singing that song earlier. But it's funny you should mention
that. It's an Elder Scrolls game,
That's why I said apples to grapples. Apples are just apples that taste like grapes.
Yep.
Injected with flavored juice.
Yep.
I like to think genetically altered and made in a lab like a dinosaur from Jurassic Park. But my dreams were fucking smashed because now I know that they're just injected with grape juice.
All right. So, we'll Jurassic talk about apples. Elder Scrolls next week. Week after that, we will talk about Dragon Age Inquisition.
Hopefully we might have a guest speaker.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It depends widely. Anyways, thank you for listening. We are the Game & Watchmen. I am Nate.
I'm Paul. I love you very much.
I'm Josh. I'm going to kiss you.